What is wisdom? Well, some have said that wisdom is the ability to judge soundly. It is discernment. It is the best use of knowledge, understanding, and insight. God has that in absolute perfection. He has total understanding of all that exists, including every human being who has ever lived, and all who are on the face of the earth. He has complete, total perception of all. Now, wisdom knows how to order everything for the highest good. And so God, in wisdom, has created this world, created mankind. He knows that it is for the highest good of those people who will choose Him as their great goal in life. And so in His wisdom, He has designed the earth to be a school of training, preparing people for His presence. He has designed heaven as the place of their habitation. This world is not our place. This is a training ground. This is a school. The world to come is the place of His purpose for mankind, when we shall stand before Him and serve Him in the endless ages that follow. In His wisdom, He knows that is best for mankind. Now, in arrogance, which is commonly called sin, human beings decide they know more than God does, and they have their own goal, and they'll go in their own direction. And all any of those people ever do is to wreck their life, destroy everything that is good, and plunge themselves into sorrow and darkness. And all over this world, there are people who are doing that. The wisdom of God is so infinite, so marvelous, that it pays us to pay special attention to that wisdom and to ask, what does Scripture say about the wisdom of God? In Psalm 104 and verse 24, the psalmist says, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. When you stop and think, the most minute things that science deals with, like the DNA, the minute elements that make up life, it took tremendous perception to make that DNA and to make it function in a way that controls the life and growth of all the individuals in the world. When you realize that all of mankind came from a single pair, the DNA from that pair has gone on to make all the multitudes of people that have been on this earth, in all the different races, all the different nationalities, it all came from one set of that DNA. And God knew what was in that. He knew the multitudes of people, the huge numbers that would come from that one creation. The wisdom of God. In Proverbs 3:9, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. To arrange the solar system so that there were planets going around the sun, to arrange the moons going around the planets, to balance all this perfectly so that it goes on thousands of years. And that is only one sun in 100 billion in our galaxy, and hundreds of billions of other galaxies, all with multitudes of stars going about them. And as science increases the sensitivity of their investigation, they're going out way beyond what they used to think was the edge of the universe and discovered there are tremendous quantities of galaxies out there way beyond the reach of any telescope before. How big is a universe? No one knows. Because our instruments can detect only a little portion of what God has made. He is infinite. That means He fills everything that exists. We can breathe a sigh of relief that the universe is not infinite, because there can be only one infinite by definition, and that's God. The universe is inside Him. He fills everything that exists. And He has the wisdom to order all things according to His will and His perception of what the universe should be. That staggers us, that's all. It is way beyond what we can fathom. In Revelation 7:12, the angels cry out before the presence of God, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power be unto God. Yes, the angels are much, much more powerful than we are, much, much more intelligent than we are, and they perceive the nature of God in a way that we can't. And they cry out in astonishment and amazement of how great He is. Now, the God of wisdom, in His grace, imparts to us wisdom also. He does not hoard it. He wishes to share it. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3, the Lord says to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in the cutting of stones, to set them, in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." Now, here is God choosing one individual, a single person, and He endows him with wisdom. And the wisdom turns out to be great skill in the handling of materials, metals, precious stones, and such. And He is choosing him to build the tabernacle. Now, when we think of wisdom, we think of a savant walled up in an ivory tower somewhere, who is thinking about the philosophic things of life. But here is God choosing an individual and imparting to him wisdom, and it turns out to be wisdom in doing things. Remember, God is a worker. He is not a speculator. He is one who has created everything that exists, work vastly beyond any other being in the universe. And here He takes a man and endows him with wisdom, that he might be able to design a building and use the right materials and adorn it properly and even adorn the high priest's breastplate with gems. Now, that's very interesting. There are some people who are kind of puffed up about the fact that they can deal with philosophic questions and can think deep thoughts and all that. But God's wisdom here described is very practical. How to work with things, how to make things, how to do things in this world. And He knows perfectly. And that should be an encouragement to every Christian worker. God knows how to do exactly what you have to do. And He can impart skill and wisdom to you so that you do it well. That's a very great encouragement. God doesn't hoard His wisdom. He loves to share it with others and impart His wisdom to His people. Joshua the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom in Deuteronomy 34:9. Moses prayed for him that he would have wisdom. Moses wasn't allowed to bring the children of Israel into the land. It was going to be Joshua who had to do that. And that would require wisdom. How do you come into a foreign territory and expel the armies that are there and take the fortified cities that are there? And you don't have siege engines, and you don't have a trained army, and you don't have the kind of weapons that they have. How do you do that? Well, God can do it. And he imparted to Joshua the skill to do it and the power to do it. Now, this is an encouragement for all who are in the military. For God is the great captain. He is a warrior. And he can impart to his people the wisdom necessary to be good soldiers, able to face the enemy and defeat them, able to establish his will upon the earth. And he used Joshua for that very purpose. And Joshua came in that land at terrible disadvantage. And God gave him the victory. When he came to Jericho, there was that walled city that had withstood sieges for thousands of years before Joshua came along. And the Lord spoke the word, and the walls collapsed. God didn't have to take it apart a stone at a time. He just willed it to come down. And it was down. Now, friends, we must recognize how great our God is, how magnificent in his wisdom and power, and how loving he is to his people to bring them into impossible situations, situations they have no control over, cannot face in a human sense. And he can give them the grace and the wisdom to accomplish his will in the face of insurmountable odds. They don't intimidate God. And they shouldn't intimidate us either. Because we serve a God of the impossible. He can speak and it becomes possible. We should never be intimidated by circumstances. Never be doubtful about our prayers. God hears. God is able to answer them. God is able to give victory. He is able to conquer our enemies. He is able to impart peace to his people. He can triumph. Friends, we must recognize what real wisdom is. God has it in infinite capacity. We don't have to worry about our future. We don't have to worry about our pathway. He has marked out our pathway. He can guide us along that way. He can bring us to a place of blessing and triumph. He can bring us into his presence safely. None of these things are too difficult for him, for he is a God of wisdom. Solomon prayed for wisdom in 2 Chronicles 1:10. He had the opportunity of asking anything. The vast majority of people would have prayed for money, possessions, or fame, or power, or something like this. But Solomon prayed for wisdom that he might rule God's people properly. God was so pleased that he not only imparted to him wisdom, but gave him all the rest as well. He had the popularity. He had the opulence and wealth of a great king. But he hadn't asked for all that. He asked for wisdom. And God gave him everything else too. That tells us something, friends. Our heart should not be set on things. Our heart should be set on wisdom. How to please God. How to live our lives so that he gets the glory. Because he's able to give us all the rest too. But if we fail in pleasing him, if we don't order our lives according to his wisdom, we lose all the rest too. Solomon was indeed a very wise man. He chose wisdom. David in Psalm 19:7 says, The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This book is the testimony of the Lord. His word is what he uses. And this makes wise the simple. Now, there are intellectuals in this world who are proud of how much they know, and they think they can solve all the problems. And we look at the problems they face in government and society, and the end result is always the same. How could they be so stupid? How could they let things deteriorate so catastrophically? Well, they all thought they were wise. The end result is invariably failure. There's no government that works perfectly. There's no plan of man that always succeeds. It always unravels. But God's program never unravels. It's right on schedule. And it's in the heart of every believer. And God is ordering all things for his purpose in infinite wisdom. And if you belong to him, you are part of that wisdom. And he is exercising that wisdom in planning your steps as well. How foolish it is for a person to think that he knows more than God does, and that he doesn't have to order his life according to this blessed book. He can just simply spin out of his own head what he wants to do and somehow achieve these purposes better than God could. That's ridiculous. And it's proved a failure again and again and again and again in the lives of multitudes of people who are proud and arrogant and come to a miserable end as usual. But God's people, who in worship before God seek his will and open the pages of this blessed book and let him speak to them and let him guide their steps, discover how profound the wisdom of God is and how it gives them not only success in this life in a spiritual sense, but it gives them fellowship with the Lord of the universe, preparing them to serve him forever. That, friends, is wisdom. How foolish of mankind to think that he can plan his life better than Almighty God can. But every lost soul is really saying that. He doesn't want God's will because he thinks he can do a better job than God can. None ever can. And the believer who comes to God and forsakes his own wisdom, forsakes his own plan, and embraces instead the wisdom of Scripture, and lets the will of God run his life, discovers that God indeed knows what he has promised, and God indeed can fulfill his purpose and overrule the powers of the enemy and bring the believer into a place of peace and serenity in the knowledge that God and his wisdom rules all. Friends, we must never be uncertain about the wisdom of God. We must be sure. In Proverbs 4:7, Solomon said, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." That's excellent advice. Wisdom is the most important thing that we can have. God offers it because he does not want his people to be foolish. He wants his people to be wise, and he is prepared through his indwelling spirit to impart to every believer wisdom, if we will seek it in Scripture and order our lives according to this blessed book. In Proverbs 8:11, Solomon says, "For wisdom is better than rubies." Now, in the world of precious stones, the ruby is way up there. A person who has a ruby has a very expensive item in this world. But wisdom is far better than rubies. Rubies will wear out and perish. But wisdom is never going to perish. The person who is wise is going to be in the presence of God for all eternity. And all the rubies are going to perish with this world. Oh, there's going to be precious stones in heaven. They aren't going to be poor, miserable little rocks. Those stones that are in heaven are stones so vast, they are spectacular. God can adorn His palace with stones the size of whole cities here. Stones that are absolutely perfect. Stones that will endure for all the ages of eternity. A person is a fool to set his heart on tiny little baubles that he is going to leave behind. God is the real treasure, and His wisdom is the most precious thing that He can impart to His people. In the New Testament, Paul, Romans 11:33, cries out in astonishment, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out." The apostle was the recipient of great revelation. He understood what God was doing, and he was astonished at the depth of God's wisdom. Paul understood what God was accomplishing. How precious that is to have insight like that. For most of us, we look at circumstances and we're puzzled about what's going on. But Paul wasn't puzzled. He knew that God was at work, and God, in perfect wisdom, was spreading abroad the gospel, using him to do that. And great, tremendous blessing was going to come through that. Could Paul look forward and see what was going on today in the gospel? I don't know that he could. But he was confident that God was going to do infinitely great things through that gospel. He was not mistaken. The power of the gospel is still at work, still reaching out, transforming lives, bringing people into the right relationship with God, bringing souls into that glorious place that he has prepared. It's a marvelous thing. And Paul is just thunderstruck at what God is doing. And he is a tool, an instrument in the hands of God. Friends, that's a privilege every one of us can be. An instrument in God's hands to accomplish His infinite purpose and His infinite wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, Paul says, "But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Yes, the wisdom of God is best seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He assumed human nature and came to earth to save His people. He died that we might live forever. To the world, that didn't make any sense at all. But it makes very good sense for those who put their trust in Him. They find out the power that is involved in that and the wisdom of God to take poor, weak individuals such as we are and transform us into servants of the Lord who are going to exist for endless ages, serving in the presence of God in those glorious circumstances that He has provided. That is the wisdom of God. We couldn't have planned all that ourselves, but God planned it all and manifests it in Scripture. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You realize that's the most important thing that God can give you? Yes, a spirit of wisdom, but it's not just wisdom for its own sake. It is wisdom that knows God. And that wisdom means you're going to be able to align your life with His wisdom. You're going to be able to live so as to please Him. And in doing that, transform yourself into a different kind of person. A person who is wise and who can walk in this world in the wisdom of God with a clear knowledge that he is going to another world in the wisdom of God where his walk will never end. And the blessing of God will be infinite and eternal. A precious truth that the world cannot understand. In Ephesians 5:15, Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. If God has planned all this for us, if God is ordering this to accomplish this in our life, then we ought to be living in wisdom according to His word. And we should walk circumspectly. Now, that's a big word. Now, I have used an illustration of that before. I want to call that to your memory. Picture in your mind's eye a Palestinian town with a wall about the town. And on top of that wall, all kinds of broken glass and jagged metal, everything sticking up along the top of that wall. Anybody who would try to go over that wall would be just slashed to pieces by all those sharp projections on the top of that wall. Now, picture a cat walking along the top of that wall, putting a paw down very carefully between all those jagged pieces of metal and glass. And then the next one, and the next one, not making a single slip, walking circumspectly with great caution. Now, that is what God expects from all of us. The trouble is, we go along like a blunderbuss, you know, just blasting our way through everything and getting punctured and slashed by circumstances. And that's not the part of wisdom. God wants us to walk circumspectly, cautiously, carefully, because He is guiding our steps. And when we order our life according to His will, then we are not going to be slashed to pieces by circumstances. And we need that sense of humbly following His pathway, walking where He ordains we should walk, and doing it carefully, so as not to harm others, so as to be a blessing to others, so as to choose the wisest course of action. That's what He wants. He's designed us for that. The trouble is, we forget. We start just blundering along. Sure enough, there are sharp projections all around us. We get punctured. And we're reminded, we can't choose wisely enough. God can. We need to get back on the pathway and walk humbly, circumspectly for God. In Colossians 1:9, "For this cause we also do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You know, people pray that they might somehow learn the will of God, might somehow perceive what God's will is. Now, that statement is very clear. God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of His will. It's not something that He wants us to be unaware of. It's not something that He wants us to be groping for. No, He wants us to be filled with the knowledge of His will. That can come about only through the Scriptures. You have no other source for that wisdom. It comes from reading Scripture, applying it to the heart, aligning the life with what you read. The wisdom grows. It comes through the One who is wisdom and His precious word. Now, spiritual understanding is a precious thing. The wisdom of God is something that can improve every believer's life. It can make his life a blessing to others as well as to himself. And we must seek that wisdom of God. It's in this book. Everything we need for our walk in this life is in this precious book. We need to search the Scriptures, fill our minds and hearts with this blessed book, that our lives might reflect the wisdom of God. In Colossians 3:16, Paul exhorts, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, that is an interesting connection. The wisdom of God is not just for academic subjects. It's not just for factual events in this world. The wisdom of God leads to joy. It leads to singing. Now, we must absorb that. When you order your life according to the wisdom of God, it does not make you sadder. It makes you more joyous. You have found His pathway. You are walking a way that will lead you into His presence with blessing and shouts of acclamation. Yes, that's worth celebrating, singing and praising Him for His wisdom. Now, friends, we oftentimes neglect to do that. We're so immersed in our own little world and our own plans that we don't see what He's doing. And we don't take time to thank Him for the wisdom of God in this book and that the Spirit imparts to our hearts as we read this book and He lifts the scales from our eyes and we see what is here with blessing and with joy. God wants His people to be joyous. He wants them to be wise. You can't be joyous without being wise. To be foolish is to be sad. In 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now there is a prayer, a veritable hymn that we can all echo in our hearts. We ought to praise the great King, the eternal King of the universe, one who can never perish, one who is going to live forever, one who is invisible from this standpoint, but He is visible to those in His presence in that glorious place. He is the only wise God. And all the polytheists on the face of the earth who worship idols are fools. They're worshiping images, blocks of stone and metal that cannot hear their prayers, cannot answer them, cannot do anything to help them. He is the only wise God. He can hear. He can answer prayer. He can accomplish His will against all odds. And we need to pray with faith and confidence that He will do just that in our lives. To Him be honor and glory forever and ever. Yes, that should be our heart's prayer, that He might be glorified as He deserves. In James 1:5, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Do you lack wisdom? Boy, I can confess that. I certainly lack wisdom. I beg God again and again for wisdom and guidance in being able to serve God in any category. Every one of us need this perception that we lack the wisdom of God. No matter how intelligent you may be, that's not the same as wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to align your life with God's infinite purpose. That does not come from just human study or human effort. It comes from the Scriptures. It comes from the grace of God itself. And every one of us need that very thing, the wisdom of God. If any of you lack that, ask. He wants to give it to you. He is not going to hoard it. He wants to impart to you that very wisdom that He has, that you can order your life according to the will of God and accomplish in this world the very things that God wants you to accomplish. What a marvelous promise that is. It's something we should cherish and should proceed to ask of God, the wisdom that we need to accomplish His will in our lives, to honor and glorify Him, to be all we should be to please Him. God wants His people to be wise. The wisdom of God is yours for the asking. Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us that we are such foolish people who think that we can solve our own problems and find our own pathway and accomplish our own will. Forgive us. Give us the wisdom, O Lord, to order our lives according to Thy perfect will. Give us the wisdom to see in Thy word, Thy will for our lives, the pathway that we should walk. Give us the wisdom to walk humbly that pathway and to seek Thy guidance and to walk according to thy will, and to serve thee from the heart. Give us, Lord, the wisdom to seek thy face daily, to live in thy presence, that we may stand before thee one day, knowing perfect wisdom and experiencing the perfect love of the all-wise God. Guide our steps. Bring us to the end of our pathways according to thy perfect will. For Jesus' sake, amen.